choose the voices that are going to matter to you, whether that's your God, your family, your friends, and value those opinions.
In the latest Know Them From Adam episode, we are joined this week by my new teammate, Sam Ponder, who was appointed last week as the replacement for the great Chris Berman. She will take over as the host of Sunday NFL Countdown starting this September. Of course, she's first due to give birth in May. So Sam's going to have quite a busy spring and summer getting ready for the new job. For those who don't know, Sam has worked for ESPN since 2011. She was with the Longhorn Network. She worked on College Game Day from 2012 to 2016 and was a reporter for Saturday Night Football in 2016 as well as various other host and reporting duties. Her duty this week was to sit down with us in Arizona shortly after her announcement as the replacement for Chris Berman. You hold quite a distinction here.
Uh-oh. What is that?
First of all, you are the second in-person podcast guest.
Well, that's impressive.
And the first woman
podcast guest. What do I get? Where's my prize?
I'm going to tell you what you get, Sam. You get dinner with me this evening.
Lucky me.
Lucky
is,
me.
Is that the prize?
That's the booby prize.
All right, cool.
That's
as long as I don't have to pay for it, right?
That's but on, I was thinking, we started this podcast about 10 weeks ago, roughly, just over 10 weeks ago. And it just has happened that way, that we haven't had the honor and the pleasure of having a woman. So we welcome you.
Oh, well, thank you.
As our first woman guest, our second in-person guest, and in a week where you made some headlines. What is this whole week been like for you?
I mean, I feel like I'm getting a very small taste of the Adam Schefter lifestyle. My phone's been blowing up. Yes. I actually thought of this the other day because the day that they released the news about this, my phone, I'd never gotten so many messages. And you texted me, I think, about coming on the podcast. And the first thing I thought when I saw your name was, this is what his life is like. Well, your phone all day long is just blowing up. So I only had one day like that. There will probably never be another day in my life.
No, there will be. There will be more days like that. When you give birth in May, there will be a day like that.
Yeah, that's true. That's coming up. Thanks for the reminder as I waddled my way in here. Thank you.
So you were bombarded with texts.
Yeah, I think a lot just out of shock. Like, say, what? Is that real? Is that real news? And I did confirm. But yeah, it was a crazy day. I mean, sheesh. It was kind of how I felt when I first found out that they were interested and wanted to talk to me about doing this. I mean, there's a part of it that's really overwhelming, and there's a part of it that's just really exciting. So
before we get to that, was there one text that stood out other than mine, Sam? Other than mine.
Yours, of course, was most important.
One text that really meant something to you, very meaningful.
There were a lot. Honestly, I'm not trying to be cheesy, but the messages I got from my coworkers on College Game Day, I mean, granted, I am 8 months pregnant, but everything made me cry. And I'm not much of a crier normally, but just such heartfelt. I mean, you know how it is. This industry is all about relationships. And so when you see the fruit of those relationships develop over time, and then you kind of go away. It was almost like I felt like I was leaving for college or something. I guess really leaving for the pros. But so from guys like Tom Rinaldi and Kirk Herbstreit and Chris Fowler and Reese and that whole group was special. And then I got a good one. I can't say exactly what it said, but from Randy Moss, that was just the most Randy Moss. And I didn't have Randy's number. We didn't have like a prior relationship. But I read it in my mind, like in the Randy Moss voice, and it got me even more excited for the
As ball. He would be saying it out loud in the way that he would in his distinctive style.
Right. And my favorite part about it was that he just said, Sam, this RM. Like, obviously RM is Randy Moss. Of course it is. Who else would it be? So yeah, that got me a little excited for the season.
And Tom Rinaldi made you cry.
Of course.
What a shock. Like, he
always
makes people cry.
That's
what he does.
True. That is what he does.
Right? Nobody does
a better
job.
You know what I will say about Tom Rinaldi, though? Kind of a misconception. This guy, he listens to a lot of rap and hip hop. Loves to dance. He actually has this really fun-loving, outgoing personality, but everybody who watches him on TV thinks it's all Oprah all the time. Like, just make you cry super serious. But there are many layers to Tom Rinaldi.
Well, you cannot be the storyteller that he is, and there's no finer storyteller on all of TV.
Agreed.
Than Tom Rinaldi, and not be well-versed in what's going on in the world.
That's true.
There's no way.
I'm with you.
So tell us how this whole thing came to be. When did you think that this was even possible?
Yeah, well, there are still moments when I'm like, wait a second, is this real? But it now is. That I'm on Adam Schefter's podcast, it feels really real.
And the fact that RM texted,
yeah,
it's real.
When you get the RM text, you know it's legit.
I never got an RM text.
Oh, bummer.
Never.
I'll see if I can work on
it. Just
that
calls me Chef. Chef.
Well, see, that's you got a nickname. If you get a nickname, then you're in. No, the whole thing has been crazy. I mean, I was so content and comfortable and happy in my gig with College Game Day. I mean, for me, that was beyond my dreams. Like, I grew up down the street from here in Phoenix, and, you know, my dad's a high school coach, and neither one of my parents have any connections in TV or anything like that. So I just remember thinking, if someday I could cover the Phoenix Suns for a local station here, like, that's as good as it gets. You know, I grew up a huge Dan Marley fan, and it was rough. Somebody asked me the other day what my NFL fandom was like as a kid. I'm like, well, I grew up in Phoenix, so it was a little rough for the Cardinals back in the day playing at Sun Devil Stadium. And although I did, side note, run into Jake Plummer at the national championship this year, and I think I was the only person in the room that was like, oh my gosh, that's Jake Plummer. Like, Jake the Snake, for a kid that grew up in Phoenix, especially when we were bad, is a really big deal. So anyway, all that to say, this is all so far beyond my expectations for myself or even my dreams for myself that it's been pretty surreal.
When did you know that it was actually happening, though? When did this come into reality?
I mean, I think – so my dad's a coach, but he's also an attorney. And I think until I actually sign everything on the dotted line – I'm still a little like, wait, okay, this is happening,
right?
But it's
signed now.
But it's happening. So I don't think there's been like one moment. When I did get a message from Chris Berman, I think that was like, okay, this is real. This is just outside of anything I saw for myself, and probably what a lot of other people saw for myself. But it's been pretty cool.
What did Chris Berman say to you?
He was as gracious and kind as he possibly could have been, especially considering, I mean, I'm the girl from College Game Day, and this is a guy who, what I told him, is on the Mount Rushmore of ESPN. I mean, the legacy that this man has built. And that's why whenever someone brings up my name, like, oh, replacing Chris Berman, I'm uncomfortable with that, because the truth is I could never fill his shoes in that position. Yes, I'm going to be sitting in his seat in his studio, technically. But the goal is not to be Chris Berman, because that is not a realistic goal. Like, that's just not, we're obviously two very different people, but also just in what he's built over the years, I couldn't do that in a lifetime. So he was incredibly nice and turned the conversation to being about my family and the baby that's coming and all that. So I was really impressed.
So he called you?
No, just sent me I got another long, next to the RM message, I got another message from Chris, and he was super nice. So that was unexpected. And that's the thing. People have asked me, like, did he reach out? I didn't expect him to. I mean, after all that he's done, if I were him, I'd be sitting on a beach. I hope he's on a beach somewhere saying, Sam who? Because he has done, I mean, there's a reason it's three different people that are filling his position. You know, if that doesn't say something about what he meant and means, obviously, to this company, I think it's pretty clear.
Will you have any conversations with him seeking advice about this job?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I have, it's funny because people keep, and Susie Colbert did the same thing. People keep reaching out and saying, hey, if you have any questions, I'm more than happy to help. Everybody's been incredibly generous with their time. But sometimes I wonder if that's one of those things like, hit us up if you need some help, but please don't hit us up. Cause I'm actually I have 30,000 questions for you. We'll see how that goes this summer when I start making those phone calls.
You bring up the number three, and this is also fascinating. Chris Berman's done it for so long at such a high level and is on the Mount Rushmore for ESPN and always will be. But there have been three hosts. You'll be the third NFL host of Game Day. Bob Lee and Chris Berman. Bob Lee did a little bit, too.
Yeah. Which of these is not like the other? Sheesh. I mean, go down that list.
And I think if my statistics are correct, and there's no statistics about this, I believe you are the first female host of a network's number one NFL pregame show. Like, we've never seen a woman host the pregame show on another network that precedes the game coming on.
Yeah.
Just like at ESPN, you'll become the first woman. There's so much history in this.
Yeah, no pressure.
No pressure at all.
This is for all of us, ladies. Yeah, it's a little overwhelming when you put it that way. But honestly, to me, it says more about the women who came before me than it does about me. The fact that I got this opportunity. And the truth is, Adam, growing up, when people ask me about like the glass ceiling and what it's been like for women to progress in this industry, the coolest thing I can say is that growing up, I didn't even think about that. Like, because of what other women had already done before me, all my girlfriends played sports. We played three different sports a year and thought we could work in sport. There was no part of me that felt like that would be weird or different. And that's because of what the women who had gone before me had already done. So I am definitely benefiting from all the work that those women put in. And gosh, did some of them put in work? I mean, when you start looking back at we were talking about it before, some of the women that played roles that had never been played before when there weren't women in the industry. I mean, I may be taking a specific seat that hasn't been sat in by a woman before, but obviously there are women all around incredibly successful in this industry. So, yeah, it's a part of it is a little overwhelming because you do feel a little bit of pressure. Like, I need to represent well. But at the same time, gosh, women in sports don't depend on me for their success right now. There are so many of us and so many that are doing incredible jobs in a variety of areas that that takes some of the pressure off.
So what does it say about our society, though, today that your hiring is as significant as it is?
It says don't read the comments. That's what I've learned. Actually, my husband and I had a few laughs the other day because someone sent me a link to the Yahoo article, I guess, that was just about the announcement. And they said, I know this sounds bad to suggest to you, but you've got to see the comments on this. And there were probably, I don't know, maybe 2,000 comments.
It?
Yeah, that's it. And I bet we read 100 of them, and Adam, literally, this is not an exaggeration at all, every single one either referenced getting in the kitchen, staying in the kitchen.
Wow.
So, I mean, every single one. And granted, let me first say, the vast majority of comments I've received, even on Twitter, where normally it's a little out there, have been super encouraging and nice. But for whatever reason, there are certain places that people feel more comfortable, I guess, to say what they really. So we still have a ways to go, for sure. There are still some angry, hurting people out there. But yeah, there's.
Don't read the comments.
Yeah, don't read. That's not. Unless you're just in the mood to laugh. In that case, we actually kind of. I mean, this is sad, but we kind of got some entertainment out of it for a little bit.
I was just sitting with a general manager of an NFL team outside before you showed up, and he was talking about one of the keys to his job is blocking out the noise.
Yep.
And paying no attention to all the things that other people are saying outside of you. And that, I think, is probably true for your job, for my job.
So many.
For all kinds of jobs. Just block out the noise.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the struggles of life, especially in a social media age,
yeah,
is just to choose the voices that are going to matter to you, whether that's your God, your family, your friends, that tight-knit group. And value those opinions, but not allow all the extra stuff to get in. Because if it does, I mean, think about it. If we had grown up in this day and age where that amount of noise via Instagram or Twitter or whatever, you could hear when you were in junior high. Mm. I mean, I think I'd be a different person. So whether you're a GM of an NFL team or a broadcaster or whatever, I mean, I think that's such a beneficial skill, really, to learn over the years, especially these days.
We'll be back with more from Sam Ponder after this. Today's Northern from Adam is brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. Blue Apron achieves this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. For less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Choose from a variety of new recipes each week or let Blue Apron's culinary team surprise you. Recipes are not repeated within a year, so you'll never get bored. Customize your recipes each week based on your preferences. Blue Apron has several delivery options, so you can choose what fits your needs. And there's no weekly commitment, so you only get deliveries when you want them. Each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card and pre-portioned ingredients and can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. Blue Apron's freshness guarantee promises that every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook or they'll make it right. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/AS. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/AS. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Today's Northern from Adam is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. It's the new year, which means a fresh start for your business. And a great year starts with making great hires. But posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. With ZipRecruiter, you can jumpstart your hiring in 2017. Post your job to 200-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 1 million businesses. And right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/football. That's ZipRecruiter.com/football. One more time to try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/football. All right, back here on the latest Know Them From Adam episode this week with Sam Ponder. And Sam, here's what I want to ask you. So you've had the chance to replace other people before. You replaced Aaron Andrews on College Game Day.
There should be some like sort of documentary called The Replacement.
So you're used to this. So I was going to ask you, what did you take out of replacing Aaron Andrews that might apply to your position now?
Well, one is to not be afraid of the comparison because it's inevitable. If you want it or you don't want it, you're going to get it. I mean, for the first 2 or 3 months that I worked on game day, I would walk out to game day with the fans chanting, like, "We want Aaron."
Wow.
Like, oh, okay, well, I'm feeling welcome here, you know. But that's the thing. You have to be able to laugh and understand what's behind it. Like, I totally got it and not take it personally. There are going to be people that are uncomfortable with me filling this seat for a variety of reasons, that no matter what I do, it doesn't make a difference. They're still going to be unhappy, and I get that, and that's fine, and people have every right to that opinion. But I think the biggest thing that I took away from that experience for me was just the same thing that some of our bosses communicated to me in this process of determining if this was the right fit, and that was, we want you to be you. Like, don't go in there trying to be the next Chris Berman or the next Aaron Andrews before or whoever it is, because it's not going to work. You're always going to be a second-rate version of that person, and people see right through it. I mean, I just feel so strongly that authenticity is what people want now, and that is flaws and all. So that's my plan, is to just be the mess of myself that I am. And some people will like that and some people won't, and that's okay. But I'm not going to put that kind of pressure on myself to try and be the same way. I actually did that. It's funny that you mentioned the Aaron thing, because I remember my first year with College Game Day, I actually hosted the first hour of the show that used to be on ESPNU. And so I was sitting in Chris Fowler's seat.
Oh.
Okay, so another Chris that I just decided to sit in his seat. I had never hosted a show, really. I mean, I'd done a few things at Longhorn Network. I get out there, and it's the same College Game Day set. Yeah. I mean, everything looks the same, feels the same. It was just on the U. And the first couple weeks, I would watch him so closely. It was probably creepy. And I tried to do what he did and kind of sound like, use a bigger
like
voice.
Chris
Ballard. And yeah, and just command the troops the way he did. And I was terrible. I mean, it was, please no one go back and watch any of that. But that's what happens when you try and be someone else. So I'm not going that route this time.
I think everybody in any line of work, in a public line of work, tries to duplicate somebody else. When I first got started, I tried to write like Mitch Albom. Every article
yeah,
I tried to make.
Good luck with that.
I tried to make it to a best-selling book that was never going to happen. And finally you recognize you just got to write like you, which is not going to be very good, but it's going to have to do for that particular time. You started with ESPN as an intern, correct?
I did.
How did this whole thing get underway?
So, like I said, I grew up in Phoenix, and then right after high school, I moved to New York City, didn't know anyone, didn't have any money, but the dream was to be a sports broadcaster, and I had no connections, but I figured all the networks are there, so why don't I go and try and just make some. I mean, it was incredibly naive, but it worked. So I ended up getting an internship a few months after true story, I was a host, not of the TV variety, of the food variety, a hostess at ESPN Zone.
The one in Times Square.
Yes, which they shut down, which I don't understand.
They used to film sports reporters out of there.
Yes, and it was always packed. We were always on like a two-hour wait, so I don't know what happened there. But anyway, we would meet people all the time, whether it was people with sports reporters or there was an ESPN radio, kind of like a tiny studio in there.
Yeah.
And every time someone would come in, I mean, I had no story. It's not like I had some, like, anything compelling to tell anyone, but it was more like, I'm Sam Steele and I'm from Phoenix and I want to do broadcasting. What can you do for me? And eventually I kind of met one person after another who knew this person. You know how it is. I mean, everything is networking and who you know. And so I got an internship at ABC Sports Radio, but it just happened to be the year that ABC and ESPN were merging.
Wow.
So they weren't hiring any new reporters. So they would send the scrub intern to do all the reporters' jobs. So my first gig, like the first game I ever did, was Lakers, Knicks, Kobe Bryant in the Garden. Go into the locker room and talk to Kobe after the game. And I'm thinking, is this what I signed up for? Like, I don't think I'm ready for this yet. The first NFL event I ever covered was the 2005 NFL draft, you know, as an intern, but I was doing the same job.
That was the Aaron Rodgers draft, wasn't it?
I think Alex Smith was.
And Aaron Rodgers.
And Aaron, gosh, dang, that is crazy to think about that. What a year
I was there,
that was.
And I remember watching Aaron Rodgers slide and wait.
Wait, Adam, you don't remember me? You don't remember?
Oh, Sam. I remember
standing in the corner, probably shaking, scared to death.
Yeah, I was scared to death in my own way. That may have been the first draft that I was covering for NFL Network, possibly. Let me think here a second. No, 2004 I went to NFL Network. There's something right. So that would have been the first draft that I was covering for NFL Network. Your first draft and my first draft.
We're starting out together.
Oh, there we go, Sam.
Oh, it was magic. It was magic. Oh, geez. No, but that kind of thing that I was experiencing as an intern was just crazy, you know, making $7 an hour or whatever, but just happy to be there.
Where did that dream come from, wanting to go into this industry?
Well, like I said, my dad's a coach, so I grew up around sports and just kind of played. I mean, it was second nature in my family. I have an older sister who played three sports a year. Both my younger brothers were
quarterbacks.
And
dad was a coach.
So that was just a part of my life so much. And the funny thing is, we didn't really have TV. We were always out playing, and I think my parents were just too cheap. But we did get to watch my dad. Actually, this makes them sound terrible or awesome, depending on your perspective. They had this little TV on like a kitchen bar cart that they would pull out from the closet, like if there was a big game or something. I mean, we didn't have cable or any of that. But on, I guess it was Saturdays or Sundays, we used to get to watch NBA Inside Stuff. So we watched some big, you know, Monday Night Football type games, or like the Keith Jackson ABC college games. And we also got to watch Inside Stuff with Ahmad Rashad and Summer Sanders. And I remember thinking, it's funny because Summer was awesome, but I remember thinking, I am going to be Ahmad Rashad.
Wow.
Like, I wrote a paper in third grade. I'm sure it was stellar, but how I was going to be the next Ahmad Rashad. And one of the coolest moments for me was 2 years ago at the national championship. Ahmad Rashad came up to me on the field and, you know, I had never told this story or anything. And just said, hey, Sam, I just wanted to let you know I'm a big fan. I'm like, stop it right now. I mean, it was just one of those moments where, you know, and he probably was just being nice. And but for me, it was such a big deal because this had been my dream since I was a little kid. So I think that's kind of what in the beginning, I think I realized I'm not going to be a pro athlete. Even third grade, there was a girl named Renee Kane that was faster than me. And I think my small mind at the time was even like, you know what, if there's a girl in my middle school that's faster than me, maybe I should just play sports for fun and be competitive, but not think I'm going to have a career out of this. So let me think of something else. And sports broadcasting was the next best thing. So now here we are.
Did you say Renee Kane?
Yeah, that was her name.
No way.
Do you know her?
No.
Oh, I was like, wait a second.
That's pretty nice. You brought up your husband before, for those who don't know. Sam's married to Christian Ponder, who, by the way, had his finest season the first year that you got married.
I mean, I'm just
in
saying.
The NFL.
I'm not trying to take any credit, but if you want to give it.
Yeah, I think there has to be some sort of connection there.
Hey, these guys are full people that have a lot of different things that impact the way they play. And I'm not saying I had a positive impact, but I'm not saying I had a negative impact either.
So you're going to be in the NFL this year. Is Christian going to be in the NFL this year as well?
That is a good question. You know what the funny thing about that is? And this is something that I think a lot of fans, you know, as you know, the NFL is all about narratives, right? And where you get drafted, especially, has a huge impact on your long-term narrative.
It's incredible.
And if things don't go well to start, it is really difficult. I mean, if you look down the list of guys, especially at that position more than any other, if things don't go well with the first team you're with, it's really tough to turn that narrative around. But what I love about Christian, and this is just putting on my wife hat for a second, is that he's not one of those guys that's defined by football. There are a lot of guys, and everybody gets to choose what they want their identity to be. But one of the reasons I married him is because I knew his identity was not in football. So I think this last year, I mean, he was with the 49ers this last year. Obviously, that was a rough year. But going into that season, he had, and he, I won't say from whom because I don't want to get him in trouble, but he had offers to go to a lot of teams. I mean, I was standing right next to him when a head coach called and told him he'd be starting in the playoffs if he would show up and get on a plane that week. And he had his reasons for why he chose what he chose. He's made a ton of sacrifices for our family to be together, which I respect and appreciate a ton. So at this point, I genuinely believe it's up to him if he wants to play. He certainly has a few teams on his radar that I think he would like to play for, because he now understands, I think, as most guys do in that position, that the environment, the coach, the system, all that stuff is so important. Yeah. And that's why you look at some of these young guys coming out this year who, you know, there's so many questions about the quarterbacks in this draft. Like, who's a sure bet? You know who's a sure bet? The guy who gets to sit back a little while, like Aaron Rodgers, or the guy that gets to sit back behind,
The guy who goes to the right system with the right coaches, with the right
and
environment around him.
Genuinely, that's not making excuses. At the end of the day, you know, the best players will play and be successful, but gosh, does that stuff make a huge difference.
But hold on. Like Joe Montana, if he gets drafted by another team other than the San Francisco 49ers, is he Joe Montana?
Yeah.
Maybe not. Yeah. Maybe not. And same with Jerry Rice. Now, some people are so good, I get it. But it is much more important to go to a great place a little bit later in the draft than to go to a shakier organization. There's a reason these organizations are picking at the top of the draft year after year, going through quarterbacks year after year. There's a reason for that.
Yep. And that's the thing. It's so hard because it's a business and it's all about making money, right? Like, we get that. But when you look at the cost of throwing these guys out there quick, I mean, Christian will be the first one to tell you he was not ready. You know, he showed up in Minnesota and everything was different. He didn't know what he was doing. And I think when you start talking to a lot of these guys and you get them comfortable and willing to talk about their experiences, a lot of them say that same thing, that going from college to the NFL was a shock.
Yeah.
I mean, just the amount, at that position specifically, just the amount of stuff you're trying to learn, especially now when you look at some of the systems they're running in college compared to what they're being expected to, let's just talk about solely what they have to memorize in the NFL compared to what they had to know in college. I mean, it's a lot. So, and that's why every time there's a guy in college that I really liked, like your Deshaun Watson's this year, like great guy, I've covered him his whole time at Clemson. You're like praying for those guys to go to a system where they get to, I'm not saying not play right away. I know Deshaun wants to play, but where they can really learn and soak stuff up and not have the weight of the world on their shoulders right from the beginning.
You talked about that Ahmad Rashad moment where he recognized you and a guy that you grew up watching and guy that helped develop that dream for you. Have you given any thought to what it'll be like to sit down to actually do that show for the first time this September when we're in the Chris Berman and Tom Jackson studio, which, by the way, is my office. That's where I keep my little desk.
Your little honored. Desk? I don't think you have a little
desk. It's a very little desk.
I picture this like big like mahogany.
No, it's a simple computer that doesn't work a lot of times. That I have to get the IT people. Like, can we just get this computer to work, the printer to work? Anyway, can you imagine what it's going to be like to sit down for the very first time to do that job as the third person in ESPN history, as the first woman in that type of role, to sit down as a new chapter is turned in our company's history?
Well, dang, Adam, I wasn't scared, but now I am. Thanks a lot. Sheesh.
Do my best to unnerve you there, Sam.
I mean, gosh, no, I can't imagine what that's going to feel like. And the saving grace in all of that is that I think the guys that I'm going to be with and the environment that is already there is so comfortable. I've known Matt Hasselbeck for a few years just through a conference, kind of a marriage conference that a lot of NFL players and their wives go to. And so I got to know he and his wife a little bit. And the comfort level of being with some people that you know are just regular guys. And that's not in a negative way at all, but you can just sit and talk to. And there's not that feeling of, oh my gosh, this is a big deal. Yeah, of course it's a big deal. But I think who you work with is really what makes the difference in terms of comfort level. I mean, there were times on College Game Day where when you start thinking about the fact that, oh, you know, 4 million people are watching this right now, that could be a little overwhelming. But then David Pollack, like, you know, pokes you in the arm and makes fun of you or something, and all that kind of goes away. So I'm hoping that the guys I'm with will kind of relieve some of that pressure that you so eloquently described for me. Thank you, Adam.
It's a great group of people, and I hope you'll stick around and watch the games with us in the war room afterwards. That's the best part of the week on Sunday, sitting down in front of those big TVs.
That's always the best part. Adam, when I was 18 interning, I guess I was 19, the first more long-term internship I did was the ABC college football studio show. And it was John Saunders, Craig James, and Doug Flutie, and then Aaron Taylor. And the reason I basically stayed on as like an extended intern for 3 years because it was so much fun. But the reason I loved that job was so much was because of what you're describing. In between those halftime hits, we would just sit in the green room and watch games together. And man, if that could have been a show, people would have loved it, because that's the best part of all of it, is just sitting around watching ball, talking about life and seeing what these guys are really like outside of all that.
As others have said, if there's anything that I could do, you let me know. But you're going to be a great addition. You're going to do great. And I'm confident that you have no reason to be unnerved at all. You'll be a star.
Well, you're saying that with a smile, and I'm hoping that means you mean it, Adam. Thank you. That does mean a lot to me. Thanks.
Thank you for being our second in-person guest, and thank you for being the first ever woman guest on the Know Them From Adam podcast.
Now, if you don't have another one, I know I really screwed up. So I'm hoping to see somebody else really soon.
Thank you, Sam.
Thanks, Adam.